We began talking last Sunday about God's message to parents in Colossians 3:21, and it's parallel in Ephesians 6, verse 4. To refresh your memory, here's what the Apostle Paul says in those two places. Colossians 3:21, fathers, parents, do not embitter or provoke your children, or they'll become discouraged. Ephesians 6:4, fathers, parents, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. By the way, I just thought of this. I had a friend in high school who took his faith very seriously, was reading the Bible regularly, and had the courage, if not necessarily the wisdom, to read Ephesians 6:4 to his father on one occasion. He said, Dad, you know what the Bible says? It says, fathers, don't exasperate your children. It didn't go over well on that occasion. Well, with these verses in mind, let's look again at God's Word as it comes to us in Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning in verse 4, where Moses gives instructions not only to parents and grandparents, but to all of God's people. So let's give our full and reverent attention to the reading of God's Word, Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning with the verse numbered 4. The words will be on your screen. The words are in your bulletin here at church this morning. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them upon your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates, so that you will never, ever forget. May God bless to our hearts and minds this reading from His holy word. And by the way, to emphasize how important these things are, Moses repeats these same instructions to the people of Israel again in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 18 to 21, which I encourage you to check out for yourself. A young mother was taking a parenting class offered by her church. She explained to her 6-year-old daughter that she was doing it in order to help make her a better mommy. And the following Sunday, after church, the little girl got upset about something. Her emotions spun out of control the way a child's emotions sometimes do. She had a tantrum because she wasn't getting her way. Her mom and dad both tried to calm her without success. In a loud, angry voice with tears streaming down her face, the little girl said to her mother, "You told me you were taking a class to make you a better mommy. Well, it's not working." You may feel at times that your best parenting efforts aren't working or didn't work. Every parent has been there. You may feel like you're failing as a parent because of the opposition, because of the pushback you get from your children. It may be, though, that the reaction you get from your kids when they don't get their way unpleasant as it is, actually means that you're on the right track in training them up in the way they should go, as it says in Proverbs 22, verse 6. Parenting, even godly parenting, is not a precise science with immutable rules prescribing what to do and what not to do in every imaginable situation. I heard about a guy who wanted to become a marriage and family counselor. He went to graduate school in order to qualify, in order to be certified as a counselor. When he graduated and began his counseling practice, before he had any children of his own, he had reduced the art of successful parenting to three principles. 10 years later, he had three children and no principles. Well, the Bible does give us principles to follow as parents entrusted with raising the next generation. The Bible gives Christian parents principles for carrying out our mandate from heaven to raise our children to know and love and trust and follow and serve and glorify and even to enjoy the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Bible is not a textbook. It's not a how-to book on parenting. Nor does the Bible guarantee outcomes when it comes to parenting. It doesn't guarantee that our children will follow in the footsteps of our faith as much as we want them to and pray that they will. Our job as parents is to point our kids to Jesus, to show them Jesus, to teach them about Jesus and the great articles of our faith, and to consistently model for them how to live for Jesus. But we cannot respond to the gospel for our children. We can't embrace the gospel for them. We can't take the step of faith for them. We can't decide for them what to do with Jesus. That's between them and the Holy Spirit. Still, the Bible does give us principles. It does tell us what to do as parents, as fathers and mothers who are blessed with the incredibly important and complicated, sometimes mind-boggling and heart-wrenching task of raising children to be authentic followers of Jesus in a world that's often hostile to Jesus and his followers. I love the way one mother defined her job description as a Christian parent. Maybe you've heard this or read this before. When her kids were growing up and she was a stay-at-home mom, she was at home full-time with them, and people would ask her what she did, she would tell them, "I am socializing two Homo sapiens into the dominant values of the Judeo-Christian tradition in order that they might be instruments for the transformation of the social order into the kind of eschatological utopia that God willed from the beginning of creation." How do you like that? Sounds pretty impressive, doesn't it? Well, it is impressive. And it is, for any parent, the most important job in the world. If you want to say that the Great Commission, the commission Jesus gave his disciples to make disciples of Jesus, is the most important job in the world, I won't argue. I won't disagree. But the Great Commission, as applied in the context of the parenting role, amplifies the foundational mission of parents to make Jesus known to our children, to invite them to become disciples of Jesus, and to assist them to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. In a sense, I think it's never been more challenging to be a parent than it is today. The coronavirus pandemic has taken us all into uncharted territory and caused all of us, but perhaps no one more than parents with children at home, to adjust our schedules, our habits, our expectations. And then there's the influence of social media in the lives of our kids and in the culture as a whole, which seems to be ever increasing. And that, I'm afraid, is very often not a good thing. The upside of the pandemic, which may sometimes feel like a downside too, is that families are spending more time together, doing more things together. But spending more time together also brings added stress, doesn't it? The added stress can lead to increased conflict and can prompt us to act or act out in unhealthy ways, which only points out how much all of us, including parents, need to be grounded in God's Word and how much we need to depend on the Holy Spirit to help us at every moment. Jesus said and says to his disciples, "Let the children come to me, and do not hinder them." Likewise, Paul says in Colossians 3 and Ephesians 6, he tells parents not to hinder our children from growing either to healthy adulthood or to full maturity as followers of Jesus. Well, how can you hinder your children from coming to Jesus? Well, you can do it, Paul says, by making them bitter. You can do it, the message says, by coming down too hard on them. If you're so unreasonable in your expectations of your children, if you raise the bar so high that your kids can never reach it in terms of earning your approval, if your love for your kids is dependent on their performance, you will, as it says in the message, crush their spirits. You'll discourage your kids to the point that they may just want to give up trying to please you. Or they may give up on ever having a personal relationship with God because they think they have to earn God's love too. If your kids don't receive grace from you, if they don't experience grace as a way of life at home, if their experience of love at home is based on achievement or behavior, they may give up on ever experiencing God's love in a personal way. They may well become bitter toward you and bitter toward God. And none of us wants that to happen. In Ephesians 6:4, Paul says, "Don't exasperate your children." In the ESV, it says, "Don't provoke your children to anger." Another translation says, "Don't goad your children to resentment." What Paul is saying is that if parents are overbearing, instead of inspiring a child to pursue God and or to work hard in life, which may be what the parents intend, it can push a child away from God and cause division and heartache at home. Chuck Swindoll identifies a number of things that can goad children toward anger, resentment, and bitterness. Among them, he says, are unreasonable demands for perfection, constant nagging over minor infractions, not leaving room for freedom of expression and personal growth, lack of encouragement and affirmation, harsh, unloving rebukes or cruelty, public embarrassment, verbal or physical abuse, inconsistent discipline, showing favoritism to one child over another, unfair or extreme discipline that doesn't match the offense, and overprotective hovering that stifles growth, aka helicopter parenting. You can hinder your children by being too hard on them. You can also hinder your children by being too easy on them. That is, by failing to discipline them properly, by neglecting their spiritual and moral development, by failing to teach them the Bible and the message of the gospel, or by trying to protect them from the ordinary difficulties of life through which so many of life's lessons are learned. You can hinder your children from coming to Jesus if you decide to let your children be in charge of their own spiritual development. You can hinder your children from coming to Jesus if you don't make your faith in Jesus and meaningful involvement in the life and ministry of the church priorities in your life. If your children see that your faith really doesn't have any impact on the way you live, if they see that relationships in the church and ministry opportunities are not important to you, you may well influence your kids to turn away from Jesus and to see the church as unnecessary or irrelevant. You can hinder your children from coming to Jesus, from desiring a personal relationship with God, if you give them a false picture of what God is really like. And I think this is especially true for fathers, since God has made Himself known to us as our Father in heaven. Many of us have or have had father issues. I've talked about this before in my own life. John Eldridge, not our John Eldridge with an I, the retired Navy commander who sang in our choir until the COVID shutdown, but the writer John Eldridge with an E talks in his book Wild at Heart about what he calls the father wound. He says that nearly every man carries a wound of some kind in his soul, and the wound is nearly always given by his father. That's true in my life. As I've said before, I loved my dad. It's been almost 26 years now since he died. I know my dad loved me, but I carried a wound in my soul for most of my life because I didn't receive the kind of love from my dad that I needed and longed for. Providentially, by God's grace, that father wound in my soul did not hinder me. It did not prevent me from desiring or entering into a relationship with Jesus as my Savior and Lord and God as my Heavenly Father. But for some people, perhaps for some of you, and this isn't limited just to guys, it can be true for both men and women, the wound or wounds from your relationship with your human Father may skew your view of God and what He's like. The wounds you received and the scars that maybe you bear on your body or in your memory or in your spirit may have caused you to pull back or turn away from God. Now, it may not be a father wound in your life. It could be a mother wound. Maybe you were wounded in some way by your mother, and that has affected your relationship with God or your understanding of the gospel in a negative way. Maybe it's a both and. Maybe you've been wounded in some way by both of your parents, despite their best efforts and intentions. If it's true, if you've been wounded in some way by either or both of your parents, I'm truly sorry. I want you to know that. And I want you to know that you have a Father in heaven who loves you with an everlasting love. I want you to know that God understands your pain and He cares for you. He's there for you. He's here for you. He wants you to let Him love you. He wants you to come to Him and find rest for your soul. He wants you to learn about His grace and to experience it in your life. He wants you to let Him heal the wounds you've suffered, just as He's healed me of that father wound in my life. Paul, following Jesus, warns parents not to hinder our children from coming to the Savior and resting in the love of God the Father. He tells parents what not to do, but then in the second part of Ephesians 6, verse 4, He tells us what to do. Instead of bringing our children down, we are to bring them up in the training and instruction or discipline of the Lord. And this is what Moses is talking about in Deuteronomy 6. You've probably heard it said that the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And I think Moses would agree with that. The main thing, he says, is to love God. The main thing is to love God with everything you've got, with all your heart and soul and strength. Jesus agrees. In the New Testament, Jesus says that this is the main thing, to love God in this way, with heart and soul and strength. And Jesus adds, with all your mind as well. This, he says, is the first, greatest, and most important commandment there is or will ever be. Now, in order to love God, you must first know God. You must first know who He is. You must first know what He's like. You must know what He has done and what He is doing, what He has said, and how He wants you to live. In order for our children to know God, so that they may love Him and trust Him and follow Him, we must make the Word of God and the message of the gospel central in our lives. This is what Moses is getting at in his charge to the people of Israel in both Deuteronomy 6 and 11. As parents, as adults, as leaders in the home and church and community and workplace, the message of God's Word must live in us. Now, I do not mean to get political here. Please forgive me if anything I'm about to say is inappropriate. I hope it's not. I don't think it is. You may feel otherwise. Yesterday, President Trump nominated Judge Amy Coney Barrett to fill the vacancy on the U.S. Supreme Court created by the death of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. A few years ago, in 2017, at Judge Barrett's confirmation hearing for the federal court, when a member of the U.S. Senate was questioning her, the senator chastised Mrs. Barrett for her religious faith as a devout Roman Catholic, because the senator said, "The dogma lives loudly in you." What I want to say to all of us is that our faith in Jesus, our worldview, which is the way we understand the world, its relationship to God and God's relationship to it, and our devotion to Jesus as the Son of God, Savior of sinners, and Lord of all things, all of that, all of this should live in us. Maybe not loudly, to use the senator's word, but clearly and consistently. You don't necessarily need to be loud in talking about your faith and living it out. And I'm not sure that that's really what the senator was talking about anyway, about volume. But our children need to be able to see the genuineness and centrality of our faith in Jesus. And in this sense, it should be loud and clear. There should be no doubt about it. Our faith should affect how we live at home, how we go about our daily lives, not just what we do on Sundays. Our lives should exhibit our dependence on God's grace and our allegiance to God's Word. So what are we to do? We're to impress God's truth on our children. We're to talk about His Word openly, wherever we are, wherever we go, and however we get there. There's never a time when it is not time to teach our children, whether by word or example, about God, about His Word, and about what it means to live as a follower of His in this world. Our lives at home and out in the world are to be filled with signs, tokens, and reminders of God's covenant love and grace, so that neither we nor our children will ever forget our first love for God and our first loyalty to Him. What we teach our children must first and foremost be a message of grace that comes free of charge from God, from the God who loves us, to people who don't deserve it and never will. Parents have no greater mission in life than to bring up our children in the training and instruction of the Lord. In the end, our children are responsible for the choices and decisions they make in life. But we who are parents, and all of us together as a church, have a God-given responsibility to train up our children in the way they should go, and to do all we can to bring our children to the Savior in order to raise the next generation of Jesus followers. We can't do that on our own. If we try to do it on our own, we're guaranteed to fail. But God's grace and wisdom are available to us. And He is able more than able. So let's give ourselves to Him. Let's ask Him to help us, to guide us, to equip us as we seek to love, nurture, train, teach, discipline, encourage, and inspire each new generation to become fully devoted followers of Jesus. Lord, let it be so. Amen.